Всем привет.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Starbound. I'm Igor Piskunov, and joining me today is Konstantin Borisov, a Russian cosmonaut who flew on Expedition 6970 to the ISS, and a man who has spent a total of about 200 days in space. Hello, Konstantin.
Добрый день.
Good afternoon.
На самом деле, путь человека.
Humanity's trek to the stars began far back in 1961 when Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human to orbit the Earth. It didn't stop there, of course. For more than 50 years now, first Soviet and then Russian scientists and engineers have been assisting space explorers from around the world. The BRICS countries play a special role in this relationship. Today, we'll take a closer look at the long history of cooperation between Roscosmos and India, talk to space enthusiasts from that country, and even have a live chat with the ISS crew. India embarked on its space journey 40 years ago, when the Soviet Union helped Rakesh Sharma become the first Indian to travel to outer space.
On April the 3rd, 1984, India entered the era of manned spaceflight. For the first time in history, an Indian citizen went into space. His name went nationwide, Rakesh Sharma. He was born in 1949 in northern India. Since childhood, Rakesh dreamed of flying, and at the age of 21, he became a test pilot for the Indian Air Force. He flew 1,600 hours in this job. In 1982, Sharma was selected to participate in a joint Soviet-Indian space flight. Rakesh underwent intensive training and joined the crew of the Soyuz T-11 space flight.
Геннадий Стрекалов стал борт-инженером советско-индийского экипажа, и это его прямой вклад в сотрудничество и сближение народов.
A day later, the Soyuz T-11 docked with the Salut 7 orbital space station. Aboard the Soviet space station, Sharma surveyed his country's northern regions in search of natural resources, and even held a direct line with the Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi.
Upar se Bharat kaisa dikhta hai aapko?
Rakesh Sharma's spaceflight lasted for 7 days, 21 hours and 40 minutes.
Спускаемый аппарат космического корабля совершил мягкую посадку близ города Аркалыка.
Теперь вы уже самый настоящий космонавт. Как вам понравилась эта работа?
Очень понравилась моя.
But the story of Russia-India cooperation in manned space exploration does not end with Rakesh. Russian specialists are helping to train new Indian cosmonauts, Garganauts, for India's own space program. The first manned flight with the Garganyaan program is scheduled to take place in 2025. And it will have Russian-trained cosmonauts on board, because space belongs to all mankind.
Но в какие бы космические дали не увел нас разум человека, люди будут помнить тех, кто начинал космический век.
We will talk a good deal today and even give space enthusiasts from India a chance to ask cosmonauts who are on board the ISS right now some questions. You yourself only recently returned from a space mission. You must be getting questions about your work all the time. What do people want to know about most?
Людей на самом деле интересуют примерно одни и те же вещи.
They're mostly curious about the same things. The question we get most of the time, both when we're in orbit or talk to friends, or speak in front of audiences at schools, universities, companies, etc., are very similar. How is life up there? How do you manage? What's your everyday routine like? People want to know how we eat, how we sleep, how we take our own blood samples and adapt to weightlessness. What is weightlessness like? What does the Earth look like from space? We keep answering many of these questions and even record video answers.
What did you feel when you went to space for the first time, looked out of one of the windows of the space station, and saw the huge Earth in front of you? Did it feel like instead of going to space, you've traveled into the microscopic world and have become tiny?
No, I didn't feel like I'd shrunk in size. I did think the Earth was very beautiful. You see it as a whole planet, which is fragile and at the same time capable of maintaining a balance. You look at it, observe it, and these unusual emotions sweep over you. There's an English term to describe this, the overview effect. You see the planet from the outside, the many seas, the oceans, the thin layer of atmosphere, the beautiful transition from day to night. When you see dusk, that almost instantly, in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds, turns into a red sunset. Now it's blue, now it's yellowish, then orange, then red, and then it's all dark. The process takes about the same time as my description just now, just 5 or 6 seconds. You don't feel small, but you do feel a resident of the Earth. You're a part of the planet, and it feels great to perceive yourself as an Earthman. You're an Earthman. I don't know if that makes sense to you. It's like nothing else.
I've been told that right now is the time when we can connect to the International Space Station. Joining us on the screen is Oleg Kononenko. Oleg, can you hear us well?
Loud and clear. How's my sound?
Excellent. Meanwhile, our correspondent Runjan Sharma is ready to connect to us from Delhi, where she is surrounded by a group of local space fans. They will get a chance to get answers to their questions directly from the ISS crew. Over to you, Runjan.
It's unbearably hot in New Delhi, but speaking to a cosmonaut in space live is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I have with me a bunch of space enthusiasts. Without wasting any time, I'm going to get to the first question. Aapka kya sawal hai?
What's your question?
Question is, kya hum space mein apne saath...
Can you take a pet to space? If so, what kind of a pet would it be?
Good morning. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to take pets on board the International Space Station. If given a chance, though, instead of a pet, I'd rather bring a family member along, like one of my kids. And my wife, of course.
Great, you've got your answer. Now you, what would you like to know?
What was the strangest food you've had to eat on the ISS?
Our space food is really delicious. I wouldn't say I've had to eat anything strange. But I have tried some unusual things because cosmonauts and astronauts who come to the ISS from different places bring some of their favorite foods from home. So I've tried some delicious things from Scandinavian cuisine, some great Mexican, Japanese, North American food, etc. I don't have this wealth of menu options back on Earth. Even something as typically Russian as buckwheat with mushrooms, I don't eat it that often at home, but I can here in space.
What's your question?
Does it get cold in space? Do you get sick? And if so, what do you do about it?
Some technicians lower the temperature inside the sealed modules where we live to create a better environment for the instruments. And there are a huge number of fans here. It sure is possible to catch a cold or get sick. That's why the Mission Control Center has a medical support and supervision group that monitors our health. We can always talk to them if we have any health issues. They're available 24/7. We also have medical kits with exhaustive information on what medicines should be used in any given situation. If there is an emergency, like one of us cuts himself during work or something similar happens, sometimes we do spacewalks where we work in spacesuits under low pressure conditions. We immediately start an emergency video conference. We also have more serious medical equipment on board. The medical supervision group from the Mission Control Center keeps an eye on us all the time.
What would you like to ask?
How do you sleep in zero gravity? Do you get insomnia?
Your you're absolutely right. It can be an issue. Sometimes after a hard day's work, like after a spacewalk, you sleep very well. You just fall asleep immediately and wake up with the alarm. Sometimes you have trouble sleeping and you lie awake turning things over in your head. On the whole, though, it's about the same as on Earth. Some nights are better than others. You may wake up a lot, but overall, weightlessness doesn't affect sleep much. Thank you.
Олег Дмитриевич, давайте, наверное, я перехвачу эту историю.
Mr. Kononenko, let me take over for a moment. I'm Igor Piskunov here at the RT studio in Moscow. I've been watching you on the big screen, and I see that you're moving, even though you're weightless. Why are you bobbing up and down?
That's my personal habit. I just can't remain still in weightlessness. I always like to jump or fly around a little bit. Weightlessness is a marvelous thing. You can do whatever you want with your body. You can spin, turn any which way, do push-ups and so on. It makes you want to fool around like a child.
Would it be too presumptuous on my part if I asked you to show us some of the things you just mentioned?
I'm wearing shorts on the ISS. If you don't mind looking at them, I could do a somersault.
We don't mind at all. By the way, Rakesh Sharma, the first Indian cosmonaut, also has a question for the ISS crew.
Before I went up, I saw a film where Michael Collins had said that, and he's one of the guys who've been all the way to the moon earlier in the late 60s, and he was saying that the Earth has begun to look more gray and less blue in the 10 years he was there. So I would really like to ask our friends in the ISS today if there is somebody who has spent that much time of his career in space, has he also observed any degradation in the environment, which is supporting us all and we are living because of the environment? Has he seen any degradation?
I personally don't think so. It's still blue. But it's true that cities are sprawling and there's a visible reduction of the forested area in the Amazon in South America.
Ever since Russia started its space journey, it has tried to engage as many countries as possible. Space has no borders after all. 5 years after Gagarin's flight, the Council on International Cooperation in the Study and Utilization of Outer Space, Intercosmos, was established. It was that program that helped many countries send their first citizens into space, Rakesh being one of them.
Of backward peasants forged so dramatically ahead of us in the race to space.
Something of a disappointment to us, but this does not lessen our admiration of what the Soviets have done.
Советский Союз был инициатором международного сотрудничества в области исследования и мирного использования космического пространства.
Twenty-eight different cosmonauts have visited Salyut 6. Nine of these were non-Soviet.
Мы строим такую систему по-настоящему братских, дружеских отношений, которые являются как бы прообразом тех отношений, которым идет и необходимо петь от человечества.
Сейчас уже достаточно богатый опыт подготовки людей с разными национальными традициями.
Комаренко, как там наш?
Очень горячий купинский стол, тем не менее горячие революционные сердца у купинских людей.
Все советские космодромы готовы к новым стартам Содружества, направленным на благо народов Земли.
Я напоминаю, что у нас...
Once again, we have a real cosmonaut here in this studio, Konstantin Borisov, who came back to Earth just 2 months ago. You spent almost 200 days on the ISS. How does it feel living in space?
Жить на орбите интересно, здорово, и для того, чтобы это...
It's interesting, it's really great. I even shot a few videos to demonstrate that and to show how we live and adapt on the ISS. Let's watch.
Sure.
Views of Earth from space. You can't mistake them for anything. It is impossible to describe with words how fabulous this scene is. I especially didn't expect that cities and thunderstorms would look so beautiful at night. Right here is my toothbrush. We add a drop of water and brush our teeth. We take a special wet wipe, wipe the toothbrush, and wipe our mouth. And that's it. Close it up. Rinse your mouth out with water. Basically the same way we do it on Earth. The only difference is that we use a very small amount of toothpaste. Now I'll show you how the IROT exercise machine works, which we use regularly to keep our muscles and bones in shape. Basically, the exerciser is a barbell, dumbbells, with which you can squat and lift. It's a multifunctional exercise machine. Let me show you now what I see when resting between exercises. First, there's a rubber band, which I use to strap myself up diagonally so that the body feels support. And second, there's a rubber band with a towel wrapped around it for comfort. I use it to hold my forehead in place. That leaves my arms floating, touching each other, which freaks me out because they really just float uncontrollably. It's not really comfortable either, so I put them inside this way. And this is the pose I've chosen as the most comfortable for sleeping.
Throughout my career as a journalist, I've been to Baikonur about 5 times. I've watched Soyuz launches with my own eyes. Every launch is a highly memorable event. To an outsider like myself, it looked as though they'd taken a freight train full of fuel, put it upside down, and started lighting it car by car until the vehicle reached orbit. And then there's this unmistakable sound, the roar of air being rent asunder. It all looks very impressive. I myself would never venture into one of those things. But what does a cosmonaut feel sitting on top of that freight train?
Actually, it doesn't look or feel very scary or stressful at all. You don't feel that way because you're in a capsule that looks very familiar to you. It's become so familiar after years of training that you know what you need to do and what is going to happen step by step, and there's no time for random thoughts.
Konstantin, we ask cosmonauts various questions in our show, but is there something that you yourself would like to tell the people of Earth?
I'd like to share the feeling that came to me almost instantly and has never left throughout the expedition. The Earth is our common home. It maintains a balance. You don't see the country borders or territorial waters from space. You just see a continent and know that people live there. Thus, my message to everyone is as follows. Let's be friends. Let's come together. Let's not divide ourselves into nations, countries, and continents, but live in harmony as people on the same planet. Let that be our goal. I know there are reasons why that can't be done overnight, but if we keep talking and hearing about it and try to work towards this goal in our daily lives, I believe it could help us unite and develop as one planet.
So true. Thank you. In the meantime, the ISS is back online. We're continuing with our space bridge between Moscow, Delhi, and the Earth's orbit. Back to you, Ranjan.
Yes, sure. I have many space enthusiasts here with me. We're in the old part of the city. It's extremely hot. The sun is blazing. But talking to people in space is a rare opportunity. So I'm not going to waste any time and proceed straight to questions.
Does the perception of time change in space?
No, the perception of time is the same. Moreover, we live on Earth, time here. Even though we see both night and day every time we make a full circle around the planet, we wake up at 6 a.m. and go to bed at 9:30 p.m. The perception of time is just the same.
All right, aapko mil gaya jawab uska. In fact, agla sawal.
All right, you got your answer. And I'd like to ask the next question myself. If you could plan your own schedule for one day on the ISS, what would you do?
If I could plan my own day, I'd spend it filming the Earth's surface, filming the stars, and calling my loved ones back home.
In fact, is waqt ye drishya dekhna hamare liye jo
so many people have come here to take part in this fascinating TV conference. They have a lot of questions. What's yours?
Hamare samne live hum cosmonaut se baat kar rahe hain aur bahut sare sawal hai hamare paas. Aapka kya sawal hai?
Where would you like to take a walk in space and why?
When we go on spacewalks, we use special hooks that attach to the station, and we can work practically around all modules. If I were to get unhooked from the station, I would become an artificial Earth satellite, and unfortunately, the life support system of the spacesuit wouldn't last long in this case. Eventually, I would die in my spacesuit while orbiting the Earth, so I only walk around the external structures of the station.
Who's next? Good.
Can you tell us about some major breakthroughs achieved on the International Space Station, if there are any?
We have many fundamental research projects which have yielded important results. One example is plasma crystal, where we experiment with cold dust plasma. We also have a 3D bioprinter, which we have used to print some initial elements of a human heart and animal organs. That's what I can name off the top of my head. We also conduct technical experiments. For example, we can now control robotic rovers from a spaceship moving at the orbital velocity. So we do have quite a few achievements and studies that could count as global discoveries.
Sounds like very complicated work. What would you like to know?
Can you smell anything on the ISS? If so, what?
Of course we do. We live here, which means there are smells on the ISS. There are smells of food, of working equipment, etc. When we come back from spacewalks and close the hatch, we always smell what we call the space smell. I believe it's the smell of ozone, which you can smell after an intense lightning storm. That's the first thing we smell when we emerge from our spacesuits. The station is full of smells.
Thank you. It was a wonderful experience for all of us. It was a huge opportunity to talk to you on live television. Thank you from me and all the space fans who have gathered here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your questions.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, Ranjan. Friends, our show is coming to an end. But before we say goodbye, let's go back to the person we opened our conversation with, Rakesh Sharma. He's a real hero in his home country these days as India's space pioneer. We sent our crew to sit down with him and learn more about his story.
Adjustment to the language was one issue, and we didn't know a word of Russian. When I say we, I mean my backup, Ravish Malhotra, and myself. Adjustment to the extreme weather was the other issue. We spent two winters there, but if you talk of the people, again, I need to point out that when we went in 84, the Iron Curtain was up, and things were not all that open as they are in Russia today. However, those were the professionals. But their families, they were a lot friendlier and they would talk openly. So that way we were made to feel at home. The people of Russia are so much like us Indians, you know. They're in their approach, they're emotional, and they're very simple folks, and just as we are. So there were six of us, and at the same time, the space shuttle got airborne with five other astronauts. So it was really the first time that 11 space travelers were orbiting the Earth all together. It was quite a riot. When we go up there and have a look down at Earth, you don't see the boundaries, and you see how all of our destinies really are interconnected. So tomorrow, when we are going to set up colonies initially on the moon and later perhaps Mars, you're going to need all the skill sets which are required on planet Earth to build societies, to build places, because it's a very difficult environment to survive in. And I think that's the change which must come in our perspective, because it doesn't make sense to go thousands of kilometers and say that I'm from America, you know. You're from planet Earth, so start thinking, not nationally, but globally.
That concludes the first episode of Starbound. Konstantin, thank you for your time. I would also like to thank everyone else who made this unique space bridge possible. Dear viewers, we'll meet again in a month to continue our conversation with outer space. Don't miss the next episode. That's all from us, cosmonaut Konstantin Borisov, and me, Igor Piskunov. Bye.